Welcome to the 64th edition of the Gooner Podcast, recorded, everyone's gone quiet now, it's so strange, but recorded on the Monday evening after Arsenal's 4-4 away draw with Newcastle. We'll be talking about that shortly. This podcast is sponsored by the website for all your unofficial Arsenal t-shirt needs.
Goonershirt.com.
And the Hampstead Village Voice with a big picture of Cesc Fabregas in the current edition.
Did you pay for that advertising? I'm your host, Joe Broadfoot, sitting in for David Udo, who's much better at this kind of thing. And he's tied up with work commitments. And he's promised to return in March, which is good news for me because I can talk about Flamini again. Those of you with decent memories will recall the days when I used to be the host of this very podcast. That's way back in that season. What year was that? 2009, 2010?
That's when no one listened to it.
Yeah, exactly. We've become very popular since I went to Japan and came back. But now I've come back, you've got less listeners, so live with it. Anyway, the first man who will later explain why he's not certain to be attending the Carling Cup final is Mr. Mark Ollington.
Hello, good evening to all the listeners out there. Lovely to be back, and I hope you're listening to this and enjoying it. Well, you will be enjoying it, it's just a start. But anyway, hello.
Secondly, back from Berlin, the man who refuses to watch Arsenal away games in pubs and hence may be over-reliant on Match of the Day for his views on last Saturday's debacle, it's a welcome return for Hampstead's finest, Mr. Don Sebastiano.
Hello. All right. Hey, great. Hey, great.
And we've got a Scouser here too. More about that later. And I'm
Chelsea,
pleased...
Chelsea.
Torres. And I'm pleased to reveal that this is one of those rare occasions when we have all of our classic original podcast panel on duty together. Although this morning it was feared this man would not make it due to an injury. He nearly broke his toe. This happened on Saturday night after returning home from watching the Newcastle game in a pub and trying to avoid kicking his cat. He's fought through the pain barrier to be with us this evening. It is the Highbury Spire, Mr. Steve Ashford.
Good evening. And welcome, everybody, and great to be back.
He's the Highbury Spy.
Highbury Spy's got a jingle.
Calm down.
Why did Steve get the biggest introduction out of the three of us? That was like loads of
I don't know, because...
Let's get on with
look
it.
Look at the script. Look how long his part is compared to yours. Yours is just one line.
He's doing give Kevin.
I did not write the script.
I think we better talk about Arsenal or everyone will turn off.
Well, let's talk about Newcastle against Arsenal. Well, that's where we begin. Was it a good weekend or a bad weekend? Would anyone like to start on that particular...
It was a shit weekend, to be honest. Yeah. It was a shit weekend, John.
Well, even though Man United dropped 3 points.
Man United won, that was great. That was the icing on the cake. Nice to, with the silver lining. Nice to get the Invincibles record back. We've been waiting all season for Invincibles Day to arrive. When it does, it arrives on the worst day of the season. Because that 4-4 draw, as far as I'm concerned, was a defeat. And I'd never want to see those four Arsenal goals ever again.
Well, dare I mention it, Spurs.
Spurs 4-2, Spurs 3-2. Wigan away last year. It's just, I mean, this is the pièce de résistance of throwing away games.
4-4 Spurs last year.
I mean, and now we're in the record books for all the wrong reasons. Mm. The first team ever to throw away a four-goal lead in Premier League history. Of course it has to be
us. Yeah, but you've got to look at it this way.
So I would rather we lost 1-0 on Saturday. No one will be talking about it. We'll soon get the point back. And the damage caused by letting those four goals in is far greater than losing a point on Saturday.
But how big
you're totally wrong. Sorry, yeah. On the au contraire, I think, you know, before the kick-off on Saturday, every Arsenal fan would have said, well, would have settled for us drawing with Newcastle and the Manx and Chelsea losing. Right, we've closed the gap on Man United by a point. Chelsea, they're off, they're gone, right? So... it's actually been a very good week at the office.
It's been so that's so simplistic.
It might
be a very good week at the office, but on Friday night or Saturday morning at 3 o'clock on Saturday, we were not in the record books as the team with the shittiest defence ever.
Who cares about that? We're a point closer to winning the league.
Who cares? A fucking point.
Well,
I
care.
Back any time.
Well, that's what it's about, isn't it? Winning the league, not about some stupid record book that no one ever's going to look
at. Not only that, every time we go 2-3-0 up now, even 4-0, we're going to be thinking, is this enough?
No, the point being that Mr. Diaby is a stupid. He's too stupid to be in this squad. He lost us that match. Well, he didn't lose it, but he got us a draw when we should have won it. Easy. You know, there's
but
no
he's
reason.
Been injured. He's been injured. Thank and then Barton came flying in with what some people might describe as a reckless tackle.
Oh, so what? Sorry. Don't get sent off. Use your brain. But look, you know, we're away from home. We need 11 players. Don't get sent off stupidly.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'll
I'm playing devil's advocate here. I agree with that.
No, Diaby's just an idiot. I'm sorry, that's it.
I mean, Mark, surely you'll defend him.
Nearly as bad as that linesman. Hell, that was a penalty. That second one, well, the first one as well, but the second one, that was never a penalty. Not in a million years.
But just going back to Diaby for a moment, Mark, could you defend Diaby's reaction?
You could say, Joe, couldn't you? He was out of the game with a very similar challenge and, you know, he reacts very badly to that type of thing. The fact remains, Joe, you cannot react like that. Jerry Barton played him like a flipping kipper. Barton knew what he was doing. He knew it, and it was obvious. Yeah. They were going to come out at the start of that second half. Tackle was going to be flying. What else could the Geordies do? We fell right into their hands.
Yeah.
Wenger's been there at half time saying, look, lads, you're going to go out. They're going to try and get something from the game. Be prepared to have bad tackles. Don't react. But did Wenger do that? No. I doubt he even went into the dressing room at half time. And you people can't see at home because it's not a video podcast. I'm sat here between Steve on one side, Bastion on the other. Some say a rose between two forms. But I have to say, I side with Steve. Because even though Bastion was correct in the sense that, you know, it's a point gained, the psychological effects moving forward the rest of the season are going to be terrible.
No, but
imagine,
the good news
is... Imagine, we go, Bastion, just picture this, we're 2-0 up, 3-0 up. In the back of the players' minds, it would be, this game is not won.
Absolutely.
And for the rest of the season, and Steve mentions, had we lost 1-0 to like a goal in the last 10 minutes, yes, we've been pissed off now, but it'd be nothing like losing the 4-goal lead. You can't be 4-0 up and
but
draw
wait,
a game.
Wait, there's good news. We've just had a newsflash from beloved Kev, he who is the god of all things Guna. Apparently, we've just had a hint. Man United lost 5-0 at Newcastle in 1999 and went on to win the title.
Oh, I remember that.
Good omens.
No,
good omens.
That's a bad day at the office.
Yeah.
It's not throwing away a 4-goal lead.
But wait. Look at Chelsea and Man United. Man United, they hadn't been beaten all season. They've lost that. Their bottom's got. They're going to be. Gary Neville's gone off, right? Gary Neville was. There's two things that happened this season that have thrown things, right? Gary Neville and Butch Wilkins. Leaving their clubs, right? Butch Wilkins, as soon as he's gone, Chelsea started losing. Gary Neville's gone, Man United lose, right? There's these players. I know Butch Wilkins isn't a player anymore, but still, they're the soul of the club, right? These people. They've been around for. Imagine Pat Rice leaving tomorow, what that would do to us. It's these like invisible people, kind of, who aren't like, you think they're not doing anything, then they go away and the soul of the club disappears for about.
And you get a cardboard cut out and said, and it works.
Yeah, I have to let you know.
I've got news for you. I've got news for you. If Wenger doesn't play, Wenger, I hope you're listening.
Wenger's
right?
got his hand up.
Yeah. If you do not play Danielson and Diaby for the rest of the season, Arsenal will win the league.
Well, it's very difficult
you
to argue
it
with
first
that.
Here.
Even with those, I'm sure Joe will get to the a bit later on. Even those two centre backs.
Okay, we're talking about blame. Well, we're talking about Danielson, Diaby. Well. Danielson
wasn't there,
took a lot of the blame, obviously, getting that red card.
He came on. Well, has that guy had a decent game in 75 years? Is it scores since 1912?
In fact, he was probably directly involved in the last three goals.
Well, of course, that brings me on to the allegations.
Oh, bullshit.
He puts in a lot of good passes, Wozitski.
Did you hear about the allegations from don't mention my name with allegations. Well, a French TV company alleged that Thomas Wozitski was involved in match fixing in some way. We don't believe personally there's any...
There's always alleged to be
doing
something.
I'm like the royal family here. But I don't personally believe it. It's too difficult to fix.
The second penalty where Wozitski was deemed to be at blame for, you know, by the referee.
No, I'm
if
a referee.
If he wanted to give a penalty
that.
Away, he could have really shoved the fella.
Mm.
He went up with his arms by his side, no shove, nothing.
Nah, it's rubbish.
I mean, and the fourth goal where he was pulled up for the free kick wasn't a free kick.
Mm.
The third one where he gave a bad pass to Clichy. if he wanted to do a bad pass, he could have done one straight back to the keeper.
I'm not too sure about the free kick though. I thought that was a silly free kick to give away, but again I wouldn't even think for a moment it was match fixing.
It
was a stupid free kick to give away, and I've been making notes of the last few games and Rozicki's given away a lot of silly free kicks.
Well, what's annoying?
It's not the only one, by the way. It's not the only one.
It's the hair, isn't it?
It might be that.
It's not resisting it.
Yeah, it's like a Simpson factor.
What's annoying is we've seen all season, right, Arsenal playing blinding football, doing everything right, and then stupid, mindless, silly little mistakes. Just you know, giving the ball away, for turning attack into defence for no reason, you know, just like cliche slipping over, and I don't know, things like that, just silly little things that really we don't need to do.
I agree, Batty, but we haven't learned, have we? Two years ago at home against Tottenham, and that was a different thing, but that was 4-4, we have not moved on from that game 2 years later. Is that against anything that's happening?
So how much is a manager to blame for this?
100%.
And his substitutions?
99.2%.
So what did you actually think of the substitutions? Skill actually coming on for Giroud?
Well, he was injured.
Yeah, well, there's not much else he could do there.
In an ideal world...
Could he have bought another player? That's another story. Rudicki for Arshavin.
One thing I noticed about Scalacci is that obviously the Arsenal captain said, right, we're all wearing short sleeves. Scalacci's got a fucking bodice under his short sleeves. I mean, it doesn't really make you think, oh, he's not a tough big centre back, does it? It makes you think, oh, he's a little girl, a little ballet dancer. You know, what's he doing wearing long sleeves under a short sleeve? It's crap, man. I'm sorry.
You don't bring Rudicki on when you're under the cosh. You've got 10 men. You don't bring Rudicki on to shore up the defence. Bad move.
But then some people might say Rosicki is slightly more defensive minded than Arshavin. And I'm Arshavin's greatest fan.
Do you see Arshavin's challenge the other week?
It was a goal saving challenge.
If we have to rely on Arshavin and Rosicki to like bolster up the defence, we're in real trouble. Because they are neither of them.
I mean, in an ideal world, Aaron Ramsey would have been on the bench and he would have come on. See him play for Cardiff yesterday against Swansea. Superb. Fit. Running the show. All the touches there. He's been fit for 2 months and Wenger still won't trust him. So blame the manager again.
And Ebouy for Walcott. How about Ebouy for Walcott? Did you think that was a good move?
I'm sick and tired of this whole Ebouy thing. The cult of Ebouy is past a fucking joke. The guy is absolutely shit. He comes with more songs than any other player. The joke's not funny anymore. He's tired, he's a twat. the biggest sellers, they're grooming your Bouet shirt. The cult of the Bouet is no longer funny. Let's ship the guy out. Was he signed a new long term contract recently? Can you believe it?
Can you believe it?
Finger.
Yeah, absolutely. No, but the problem we've got is really, what we're saying is get rid of Bouet, Danielson, Diaby, Scrilacci, right? That's four players.
Yeah.
Right, we've got to replace them, haven't we?
Don't forget, this is the greatest squad he's ever had.
Yeah.
Better than the Invincibles.
We're saying Barcelona with Cozzioli and Scrilacci at the back.
What do you think, though, Basti? For Danielson and Diaby, you've then got Wilshere and Ramsey. At the start of the season, Wilshere was hardly going to get a game, so he's basically worked his way into the team.
Can I just say something though? We're 4 points behind Man U. You know, was it Hansen said, there's only Arsenal going to manage to play, to win the league now. You know, so let's put it this way: we're in all competitions, all right. But granted, we won't be in the Champions. We won't be in the Champions League in a couple of weeks. But that's at the moment we're in a final. Bloody hell, you know.
Do you know what? That's not a foregone conclusion.
No, not at all.
No, I'm a bit worried about that one.
particularly.
That's what we're talking about psychological damage, right?
Yeah.
When we were saying we'd rather lose 1-0 to a last minute goal, and rather than concede a 4-goal lead like we did on Saturday. What are Birmingham going to think? If we'd lost 1-0, Birmingham would have gone, oh, tough nut to crack. Yeah. Nailed out. Now they're going to think, oh, if we hit Arsenal, if we roll, if we attack them, if we pop the ball in the area, we'll score four goals.
If we tackle them hard.
What do you think they're going to be saying in the area? Newcastle did it. In the team talk before the game.
Yeah.
Old fucking ginger nut, he's going to be saying, if they get behind Arsenal, just fucking lump it in there and they'll collapse.
Yeah.
And we will.
So why is it now with 10 men Arsenal can't hold on to a lead like back in the day?
We had leaders back then, didn't we? We had Vieira type.
We had Vieira, Petit.
We had fucking nutters back in those days that were put up.
So we're basically lacking nutters. That's how you
lacking leadership.
Yeah,
leadership.
I think we could do with someone who knows how to go up to Georgieland and get a result. Ding 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 ding. Name that film.
A bit like Get Carter.
I think we need a Carter type person.
Jimmy Carter.
No, I was thinking more like, Jack. You don't pour a man like Jack a drink.
Get Carter, 1971.
Shane got killed in the end.
But would it be enough, bearing in mind some of the refereeing decisions of late? Because I've been keeping logs on some of the refs.
I do not like a ref with big hands.
They must have all had big hands then, because the last four, at least, there's been Clattenburg, there's been Halsey. Halsey made the strangest ever decision. Do you remember when the ball hit him and he suddenly decided it was a drop ball?
Yeah. What was that about?
Where did that rule come from?
I have to say
Clattenburg, Halsey,
There's a couple of others as well.
And all the other... All
Dowd, of course,
yeah,
obviously.
All the other ones.
I mean, the linesmen, aren't they helping?
Dowd makes all the other referees seem like saints. Mm. Every time we have Dowd, something goes wrong. Sunderland away, he played an extra minute when Sunderland equalised. We had him at home to Spurs when he gave them loads of free kicks that weren't free kicks. We ended up losing 3-2. And we capitulated 2 goals then. We had him Saturday. Every time we get Dowd, we lose. There's definitely something in it.
Oh, yeah.
But even though that's the case, Fabregas is a man gone mental. I know the referees have been absolutely diabolical, but I think Cesar's on some kind of drugs. The guy argues at every decision. He goes, oh, I think the Cesar's going to come on for a lot of unfair
passion.
Kind of
argument.
It's passion, but it's going over the top, Basti.
David Moyes and his allegations about Cesar Fabregas?
On Saturday, Phil Dowd had Fabregas' mark on Saturday.
Yeah, totally.
And every time Fabregas went up to Dowd, Dowd just said to him, one word and you're off. Mm. And Fabregas was like a little kid at school being told off by the teacher. Lee Mason let him get away with it, so he did.
But he's made rough for his own,
Saturday,
own back, really.
Dowd had him in his pocket.
Yeah.
Well, this is good, because there is an Arsenal conspiracy going on here in the media and with the refs and with everyone. So, once again, I think if we don't play Diaby de Nielsen and do something about Scalacci's sleeves, we might win the...
But the George Graham days are gone, Basti. And you know when we had those 2 points deducted back in 91, you can imagine Graham there on the training ground going, come on, lads, use the media against you, as he did at the time.
Is that your Scottish accent?
Yeah, it is. Good one. Yeah, but you can imagine it. Hey, Basti!
It's about as good as mine.
Yeah. Hey, you've got to use the media against us. You know, he was there doing that. Feng won't be doing that, will he?
Well, I've got... Can I just do a bit of my famous name dropping? I met George Graham once, right, in the White Bear pub in Hampstead, and he came up and he said, oh, and you could have been a centre-back for the Arsenal. Like.
And he said,
how good is that? Meeting George Graham, he said, you should have been a centre-back for the Arsenal. First thing he said to me, I thought,
not Stephen Merchant's right hand.
No. But don't forget, George Graham also signed Colin Pate to
Uncle Fester over here. By the way, if anyone hasn't ever met the Highbury Spy, he looks exactly like Uncle Fester from the Addams Family.
They've all seen my picture.
Yeah, they've all seen my picture.
And no one's pointed this out before,
Uncle
have they?
Uncle Fester, David Essex hosting, Stephen Merchant.
I do not look like Stephen Merchant. I've got big goggly eyes like him.
You're the foot fetishist. You're always looking at my feet and going, your feet are not that broad, or maybe they are.
Anyway, back to
Arsenal. You've stopped all that, Mark. Back to Arsenal. Looking at the bigger picture, since the last recording, we've played the likes of Ipswich, Leeds, West Ham away, Wigan, Ipswich again, Huddersfield and Everton at home, and of course the Newcastle away game, which we've already discussed. So we're in every competition, and we can win, in theory, every competition, and we can... Why are you laughing? You're supposed to be optimistic.
Barcelona,
10 points out of 12 is not bad going, is it?
No,
it's not. And we're four points behind the leaders. We're well ahead of and let's have a little moment, because Tottenham and Chelsea are on the same points. I know there's a long way to go, but would anyone here like Tottenham to be higher than Chelsea this season? Because
yeah,
I know I would.
Yeah, why not?
I know it's very thoroughly un-Arsenal-like to say so. But I hate Chelsea more than I hate Tottenham.
For Chelsea to spend £73 million and not get in the top four would be wonderful.
But wouldn't it be great if the Scales has beaten both to it and had a massive resurgence and beaten both, that'd be amazing.
Bring
it.
Oh,
that'd
be beautiful.
Brilliant.
Which could happen.
Bring it on.
It's feasible.
So what's your view? You mentioned Chelsea and their exorbitant spending. I mean, what's your view on the transfer window itself and the way the other clubs spent in comparison to Arsenal, not spending a penny really, apart from on
Jack
this Wilson Japanese guy
we
brought in prior to the transfer window, really. And they were announcing it on Sky Sports in February, which I found quite bizarre, but that's another story.
Who is that?
This Ryo Miyaichi.
Oh, Miyaichi. Yeah,
he looked quite good. I watched him on
Great. Never played for Arsenal, though.
No, I don't think he will.
Japanese.
He's the Japanese Theo Walcott. Yeah, he's not as fast as Theo Walcott.
We're going to get a work permit.
Well, that's a bloody joke.
I think we might in about 5 years.
Japan, then, are we?
Well, he's getting plenty of footage on YouTube, so we should be happy with that, I suppose. But are we happy with what happened in the transfer window?
No, of course not.
Not at all.
Excuse me, we've got this Japanese guy. He's 18. He comes from Japan. We want to sign him up full time and play him in the Premier League. Has he got any caps? No, he's just left school, actually.
So we'll send him to Holland.
He's probably 4 feet tall and will never play in the centre of defence.
So he's not the beefiest-looking guy, I must admit, but skillful, very skillful.
Then he'll go to Portugal for years.
Yeah, all our players 4 feet tall.
When he's had five games for Japan, And then Wenger won't play him. He will loan him out to West Brom.
Oh, yeah.
So who did do good business during the transfer window? Would you have preferred Arsenal to be more like Chelsea?
Bolton did good business.
Well, I wish,
in that respect.
I wish.
Buying Torres, for instance?
We should have sold Bentner, bought Torres for £12 million, and then that would have been quite good. But unfortunately, he wanted more than 12 million quid, didn't he?
So would you have been happy if Arsenal had spent the sort of money that Chelsea spent on Torres? What was it? 50 million?
No,
but if we sold somebody,
we're going to get 50 million for Bentner.
No, but we supposedly got. Haven't we got 40? I thought we got 40 million in the bank, something like that.
None of us want to spend 50 million.
So why is that money sitting in the bank? Is it gathering that much interest?
Okay.
Right,
this is Kev, by the way.
This is Kev, he's nipped in.
Newcastle bid 18 million for Bentner after the Andy Carroll deal went through.
Arsenal
turned it down.
Mm. 18
million
we could have got
good
for Bentner.
Yeah. Good. We've got enough fucking players out without selling
them. I'm glad we didn't give them in as well.
So bearing that in mind, we'd have had the 18 million for Bentner, so then 32 million we could have had Torres. No, and then we'd have had 8 million left in the bank if we'd got 40 million. Is it 40 million?
We would have had
22 sorry.
No, we'd have had 58 million. Because we got 40 million plus 18 for Bentner, 58 million. We could have bought Torres and kept 8 million.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
No, we could have gone to the Bahamas on holiday. I think would have been probably a better idea.
But would you have been happy with that sort of deal? Get
Torres,
rid of Bentner, spend a fortune.
Goals.
I think
Torres would fit in Arsenal better than he does at Chelsea.
Probably. Yeah, more than likely with Fabregas.
What's that guy we spoke about last time? Mertesacker. Why can we spend £12 million on him? That's what gets me. Buy a decent centre-half, you wanker.
I mean, we all knew that Diaby was like one game away from doing a knee in again.
Yeah.
He's done it now at Newcastle.
Yeah. And we knew that Giroud was played by one game out. The guy's injury prone. He's been brilliant this
season. The thing is, Mertesacker's German, see? Yeah. But we don't think out of the Schwierigkeitsgeschwindigkeitsschachtel. That's our problem.
Right, absolutely. Or out the basket, either.
Yeah.
It's meant the box, that is. Yeah. German for box. Well, it's not really.
It's a long word for box, isn't it?
No, it's box. It's just schachtel. But I just added on the Schwierigkeitsgeschwindigkeitsschachtel.
Actually, German podcast one day.
Yeah.
Why are German words 86 times longer than English ones?
Yeah.
And aren't you just glad you don't live in Germany?
Well, it's because it's selbstverständlich.
Well, aren't you just glad you don't live in Tottenham? What did you think of their business, by the way, during the transfer window?
Didn't Tottenham sign the entire one?
They tried. They tried to sign Charlie Adams.
They tried.
7 also, million for Charlie Adams. What a bargain!
Was it 7 million?
That's what they was. They were. Oh,
I didn't realise they offered that much. And they offered like £10.50 for Phil Neville. Something ridiculous. And Everton were very upset.
That, no.
So was that laughable? And what about the Carling Cup? It's a big jump of subjects here. Sorry about this. What about the Carling Cup ticket distribution? Is that laughable too?
Do you know what? I find it disgraceful. Now, I agree with the club. Now, people out there probably know, if you've been to 3 away matches, you qualify for a cup ticket. No problem with that whatsoever. You've got to reward the fans that go to away matches. Yeah. Top notch. But then, after that, it becomes a lottery. Now, apparently, there's 41,000 people who are gold members or platinum or club level for 31,000 tickets. That doesn't go. I've missed out on a Carling Cup ticket, even though I've been a season ticket holder for years and years and years. And what gets me is, I've been to the 2 Carling Cup home games. I've sat there and watched those shitty little matches. I've been to every home game this season. Why can't the club do a simple thing where after the away ticket holders get to their, you know, which is brilliant, get their kind of tickets, they analyse who's been to the Carling Cup games, which is what Birmingham are actually doing. And then afterwards they think, who's actually gone to every home game. There's loads of these fuckers that get a season tickets, put half the games on the ticket exchange, go to 3 or 4 matches every season, and get Carling Cup tickets. Now, don't get me wrong, the reason why we drew 4 against those Geordies was because I didn't get my Carling Cup ticket, and that is flipping karma having a huge influence, and people are saying, you know, I don't wish to big myself up, but I've got quite a big aura, and when I'm upset, bad things happen.
No, you know what? I thoroughly agree with you, Mark. Every season ticket holder I know has not been to one Carling Cup match this season, and yet they've all got tickets for the final. Now, wouldn't it be better if the people that actually went to the Carling Cup games, who invariably aren't season ticket holders, got the tickets?
Yeah, and then those can come after that. And I have a season ticket, but I've missed out. I've gone to the Carling Cup games.
So what's your take on it, Basti? Do you think the Carling Cup should be treated as a separate competition in terms of tickets?
Lucky, you know. I mean,
don't tell me you've got a ticket.
No, I haven't, but if I wanted one, I bet I could get one.
Yeah, you could, mate.
You've got
your contacts.
But that comes from standing outside Avenel Road flogging the Arsenal rap 20 years ago. You just, if you know enough people and you hustle around enough, You know, okay, not everyone's in that position to hustle around enough. But
I'm a busy man, Basti. I've got time to hustle. I've got a family to support.
No, what's more important to you, your family or Arsenal? There's only one answer.
It was a pause.
There's only one answer. If you're not prepared to sacrifice your mere family Arsenal. For Arsenal, you don't deserve to go to the Carling Cup.
He's always more important than your family.
Arsenal first. Get your priorities.
Tell you why Arsenal is more important than your family.
Why is that, Steve?
Because you don't walk around 24 hours a day thinking about your family.
Yeah, that's the point.
You do about Arsenal.
Yeah, you're not an obsessive, compulsive fucking family man, are you?
Yeah.
No, but you are.
I've got 5 grandchildren, 3 kids, God knows what. However many ex-wives and stuff like that, but I never walk around thinking about my family. Oh, how's my granddaughter doing at school today? I wonder what they're doing this evening. Shall I invite them round? No, I'm thinking about Arsenal 24 hours a day. Which means Arsenal is more important.
Yeah, which means you deserve your Carling Cup ticket.
Yeah.
But talking of importance, important do you think Arsene Wenger regards this competition? Will he play his best team, and should he play his best team?
Before I answer that, can I just ask you a quick question, Joe?
All right, you're going to get personal now.
Job, I'm in quite a privileged position where I can get tickets if I want to for a real, really big games at Wembley.
What's privilege? It's the Carling Cup.
Listen, this is my question, for fuck's sake. Now,
Champions League final.
Now, I could get a Champions League final ticket should we get to the final, which I won't get via the club. Yeah. Or I could forego the potential of that, should we ever get through, that's the FA Cup, and get a Carling Cup ticket.
Take the Carling Cup.
You don't think we'll get to the FA Cup?
Take the Carling Cup.
There's no FA Cup or Champions League final.
Take the Carling Cup. That's my advice to you.
Sorry to be so pessimistic. Gone, had a day out at Wembley.
You might FA Cup final. There's only like 20,000 tickets there, isn't there?
Wait a minute. Who have we got to play between now and the final?
It's going to be a couple of tough sides, guaranteed.
So, and on the back end of a sort of destruction by Barcelona, everything goes tits up after that anyway. So look, guys, get your seatbelts on, right? Because we're in for a bit of a crazy. It's like, you know, it's a bit like, it's going to be like RAF stuff, isn't it? We're going to be like bombs, shells flying all over the shop after the Barca game.
Absolutely.
So enjoy now. We're second now. I'm enjoying this because, you know, this is what we've got. And after Barcelona, I don't think we're going to have, it all could go tits.
I reckon we're going to lose to Barcelona this year by more than we lost last year on aggregate.
It's Messi. He's only got to Nielsen and Diaby to get past. It's Scolacci. 5-0.
It was 6-3 on aggregate. If it's that close again, I will be enormously surprised.
Imagine if
that close.
But will you care if we win the Carling Cup?
Yes!
I won't. Because last year we never won a trophy, this year we might.
Yeah.
I tell you what, if we win the Carling Cup, they might remember how to win something. We might go on. What we might go on and do is win the league. That's what I'm hoping. If we win the Carling Cup, a league and Carling Cup double would not be a bad season, would it?
No, it'd be amazing. Yeah.
Look, the wheels have come off.
How many
Man
teams have won the league with Scolacci and Cuzzioni at the back?
Oh, Cuzzioni's all right.
He's okay with Jury.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, we know that what's his name's left Man United, and their wheels have come off. It's their little right back, right? That bloke who looks
well,
like.
Well, has it? I think he's going to sign Gary Neville and play him at centre half.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, stranger things have happened.
Like Silvestre.
Yeah.
Who would have predicted that?
Silvestre. What was he thinking?
Who would you rather have?
He's not that bad.
Or Silvestre?
Neither. No, Tony Silvestre. Adams.
Yeah, Silvestre.
Just bring back Keown, Adams, Bold, proper players.
Pate, Linegan are even better than those two. Yeah.
Linegan any day. Yeah.
So one question I fired at you all, but no one answered.
Sorry, Joe.
Because you interrupted.
Sorry,
you
Joe.
Naughty boy.
Sorry, Joe. He was too busy looking at your feet.
Because he was so busy looking at my feet. It's the question of, what team would you play? Would you play your best team for this Carling Cup final?
Oh, of course, it's a final.
I know, but Arsene Wenger doesn't think
he will
that way.
Play them back
he's never done it before. When has he ever done it before?
Yeah, well, he hasn't in the Carling Cup so
against,
far.
Against Ipswich. No, Ipswich at
home. This season has been a little bit different. I wouldn't say it's the best team.
At home
in his mind, it's not the best team.
Ipswich at home, yeah, yeah.
Ipswich away certainly wasn't.
No, he knows he's got to win silverware this year. We're in a final. He will play his best 11 with the best bench he's got.
Yeah.
He will play the best team he's got. He'll
go out.
It's 90 minutes lifting a cup up. So just Cesc Fabregas with a smile on his face lifting a cup up is going to do so much for us. We need that, because without that, if we don't win that game, then that's it.
I'll tell you what, 75% of Arsenal fans, probably maybe slightly less than that, might be slightly more, at the moment are touch and go about Arsene Wenger's power and capacity to take the club forward. You know, a lot of those fans would probably wouldn't shed any tears if he left tomorrow. if we lose that Carling Cup final, the other 25%
of it's game over.
Yeah,
and he knows that.
Yeah, it's a game over.
So there's an awful lot of pressure in this for this one match.
And it's got to win it. It's got to
and
win
it's only the Carling Cup.
And it's just that it's teams like, but you know, oh god, dare not even think about. He plays his best team, and Birmingham hoof it up the pitch and win 1-0. 90th.
Would you imagine on the realm of possibility?
Can you imagine we lose 2-1 to Birmingham? Yeah, because they pumped a couple of long balls in the area. Zizic has risen above Scilacci and nodded a couple in. Right.
Chizzy's injured. So fucking Abergowns in goal.
Are there still going to be AKBs the following morning on the web saying Arsene Wenger's doing a good job?
Of course they are.
Let's keep him on.
Because
what a great job this
guy's doing. If we're in top four, people will still be saying that, Steve.
Yeah.
Because we haven't come out of top four since of course there will be. There'll be a vast, and the board very much are AKBs, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
What's it Peter Hillwood said? We've never had it so good.
No, he said it was never in any doubt. That was up when Michael Thomas.
Realistically, if we do lose that game, do you think that there's a chance Wenger might go in the summer?
I'm not sure.
If that's a trophy,
that's
less,
a question to think about.
If we come downstairs,
if we lose that kind of the top four, then definitely.
Because he'll still. I mean, it's mid-season, right? If we lose that game, he'll say, "Oh, there's plenty of other things we should be concentrating on.
It's only
a little Mickey Mouse competition."
We might have beaten Orient just about. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. Huddersfield at home is hardly what you call a scintillating performance, was it?
No, terrible.
I mean, the whole competition, the FA Cup's been tricky, right? With Leeds and
it's been disgusting. That Huddersfield game was appalling.
Well, Huddersfield, in a sense, it was worse, even though we got through first time rather than Leeds two games.
Did you see Ben the laugher when you missed that chance?
Yeah. I know.
I hate that.
But did you see the psychologist said this guy's got amazing confidence? He's the most confident person he's ever met. I don't know if that.
And then he scores a shot that's a good never thing. Going in a million trillion years.
But it's good to
player gives it the laugh.
Overconfident.
I tell you what, though, it's good to have a confident goalkeeper at last. Yeah. This little kid.
After Saturday,
so confident,
Chesney.
That's another thing about Saturday.
Yeah, imagine Chesney's letting about 4 goals in 12 games before that.
Yeah, but it wasn't his fault. Any of the goals
don't matter for letting 4 goals.
Yeah, it's not
confidence.
Have you seen his stats?
Two of them were penalties.
Unbelievable.
And you can't really blame him.
No, I'm not blaming him at all. Yeah. I'm saying it's not going to be good for the morale, is it?
Prior to that game, his stats were so far ahead of Almunia, and last of all was Fabianski, which certainly didn't surprise me.
That's the result, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
The average hour's back.
Yeah. No Indian up for the season.
I know I shouldn't ask this question, but I feel very tempted. Did anybody feel upset? No, I'm not going to ask
that. Go on, ask it, Joe.
No, did anyone feel very upset about Fabianski's injury and thought it might affect our title chances?
I'd rather have him back. I'd rather have him on the bench in the average hour. Because he's come back from nowhere. I thought he was never going to play for us ever again.
Almunia's stats are better than Fabianski this season.
Fabianski's 10 times better than Almunia.
You might think so, but
he
his stats.
No, think about it.
The stats don't back
that up. Fuck stats, Joe. It's bollocks.
I know, sometimes stats are. You're right.
Fabianski is better than a keeper now.
The odd goals that we were conceding when he was having his run, like the one against Chelsea, the one where the Chelsea goal where he kind of got caught in no man's land, I mean, the Newcastle goal where he came out, missed it, Carroll headed it in. Those are the sort of goals that he concedes all the time. And we don't concede them anymore, touch wood, because he ain't playing. And Almunia rarely concedes that type of goal.
West Brom at home.
Chesney stays on his line. Have you noticed? Chesney, normally, he only comes out if he thinks he can get it, which is normal behaviour for a goalkeeper.
The most worrying thing about Fabianski is just when he's got the ball in his hands and he looks like some sort of school kid. The way he kind of just runs out with it, like he's in a hurry and he's panicking.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, he panics.
Have you ever seen
just with the ball in his hands? You think you almost think he's going to turn around and throw it into his own net.
Yeah. Have you ever seen that magazine Viz? I think they've got a character called Bag of Nerves, and it really looks like Fabianski. Yeah, so I think I've seen him play a few times.
Here's a quick advert for the Hampstead Village Voice, which has also got two pictures of Ian Wright in it: one with a honey monster and one with Vanessa Feltz. I don't know what he's doing with her. But to find out, you've got to go to Hampstead because it's the only place you can buy the Hampstead Village Voice. £2.
Right, I think I should cut you off at this point then, everyone. So to conclude, the usual reminder is, if you want to email us about anything at all related to the podcast, the address is goonapodcast@gmail.com. Just a quick word from our erstwhile editor, Kevin Witcher, about the current issue of The Gooner.
Yes, it's been on sale for a couple of games. Final chance to buy issue 212 will be at the Wolves home game this coming weekend. And it's fairly good issue, which has got some very nice comments from people that say they've enjoyed the contents within.
I love that. It's a fairly good issue. Jolly nice comments. I think you need to sell it a bit harder, Ken.
I don't need to. These people are already listening to you guys for half an hour.
Which Chumley, must be hardcore fans.
Which Chumley Warner School of Education did you go to?
I went to Briftmary Comprehensive.
Mr. Chumley Warner. Isn't Johnny one issue of the year?
Charlie Charles, the Arsenal captain. What's he going to do with
That's the best viewer you've ever had.
You can knock education.
They're going to give it to Finney on the wing. What's he going to do with it? Exactly what he did earlier. And Liverpool goal.
£2.
This issue is very good because, unlike the previous one, I've actually printed all the articles properly and not reproduced the one from before.
Yes, I have already apologised.
It's a very nice girl on.
That's certainly good news. Well, thanks once again to our sponsors, GunaShirts.com. You've missed your jingle opportunity. And there's just time. Are you going to do the jingle again?
No, I can't.
You're forbidden to do the jingle twice.
All right,
you've missed your chance.
Well, wasn't the chance anyway.
All right, I'll give you another chance.
No, don't want a chance.
We have no chance to say GunaShirts.com once again. And just a word. Oh, we've had that. See, no, you've messed up my script completely. Right, it's just time for the panel to bid farewell. There's Mark. Are you going to say goodbye, farewell?
Oh,
or
bye-bye.
Don't say sayonara, or I'll start arguing with everyone again. And the Don?
Yes, goodbye. It's been a pleasure to speak to you again, and I'd like to say to our editor-in-chief that he talks rather good English occasionally.
Very good English, indeed. Very good.
Thank you so much for listening, and it's been a real pleasure. And the Gooner is actually rather good, yes.
And the Spy?
Well, I would also like to say how... What a pleasure it's been to be here this evening, and I look forward to the next podcast immensely.
I'm sort of getting nervous.
In 2017.
King Charles was not king yet, but
it's
double vision.
The BBC in 1962.
Oh, is that the BBC? I thought 1962. I thought it was Prince Charles. But
they used to say Tool, didn't they? 1962.
Tool. Yes, Tool.
Well, the Beatles. Hey, we're the Beatles. Still having fun scoring goals against Chelsea.
We'll be back with another edition of the podcast in a matter of days, as we're recording another one right after this one. I'm your host, Joe Bonfort. Thank you for listening.
La di da di da, la di da di di. All good friends and jolly good company. Well, hey.